This week, the Senate unanimously approved legislation for a new Justice Department office to investigate and prosecute cold case murders from the civil rights era. The unsolved crime section would look at murders motivated by racial hatred and committed before the 1970s. The new measure will be added to the Commerce, Justice, and Science Appropriations Bill, which is expected to pass the Senate this week. Doug Jones is a former U.S. attorney for Northern Alabama. He was lead prosecutor when the 1963 Birmingham church bombing case was reopened, and he joins us now by phone from the federal courthouse in Birmingham, Alabama. Thanks so much for being with us today. Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Yeah, thanks so much for being with us today.
Sure.
Can you tell us a little bit about your own experience working with these kinds of cases that have been reopened after a number of years?
Well, it's been a phenomenal experience. Number one, those cases are obviously very difficult to go back in time. So many people are deceased. So many people are old and infirm to try to reach back and get that back. But having said that, to be able to do that and to see the reaction of folks when you have the success is a pretty humbling experience. It's just been an amazing thing for us to work on here in the two cases that we did on the 1963 church bombing.
Just want to remind our listeners, we're talking about legislation that would create an unsolved crimes section that would look at murders motivated by racial hatred and that were committed before the 1970s. If you have any questions about that, or if you'd like to join this conversation with Doug Jones, give us a call at 1-800-989-8255. That's 1-800-989-TALK. You were a law student, Mr. Jones, when the first trials began for the 1963 bombings. What was it like to work on a case that had begun much earlier?
Oh, it was a phenomenal journey to have watched the former attorney general prosecute that case in 1977, cutting classes out of law school to watch the trial of the century here, to sit in the balcony and watch his closing arguments, and to watch the defense lawyers work. I mean, law students just get into that, and never dreaming that 24 years later, I would have that same opportunity, not only to do that case, to finish that case, but to be in the same courtroom where I watched as a kid. It's just something that comes along rarely in one's career, and no one ever dreamed it would happen to us. We had an incredible team that really just would not give up in these cases. It meant a great deal to this community. It made a great deal to these victims.
If you'll just hold on with us for a moment, Mr. Jones, we are joined now by Republican Senator Jim Talent of Missouri. He co-sponsored this legislation, and he joins us now by phone from his office. Thanks so much for being with us, Senator Talent.
Well, I'm glad to, and thanks for focusing on an important issue.
Tell us a little bit more about this legislation. What exactly will it do? Can you tell us some details of this legislation?
Create an a cold case section in the Civil Rights Division whose sole function will be to investigate civil rights murders occurring before 1970, because our assumption was that murders occurring before that date probably were not adequately investigated at either a local or a federal level. And with a view towards prosecuting where that is possible, and we have seen with these recent cases that that often is possible. There's still somebody around who can be prosecuted. But in any event, trying to determine the truth in these cases and then reporting back to the Congress.
What are some of the recent cases that you're thinking of? What inspired this?
Well, what inspired it was a conversation I was having with a man named Alvin Sykes, who's part of the Emmett Till Justice campaign in Kansas City, and I had worked with Senator Schumer on some resolutions relating to the Emmett Till case, and I guess it was the Till case that inspired this this law. But Mr. Sykes said to me at the time, he said, you know, we've had some good efforts recently by local prosecutors and by the Justice Department, but why don't we have a regularized section or office to investigate this? And I thought it made a lot of sense, and so did Senator Dodd, and so we sponsored this bill. And we really think that it's going to have a lot of advantages. It'll encourage people to come forward with information because they know there's a Washington office that's devoted just to this. We think this office will develop a lot of forensic and investigative techniques that are unique to these kinds of cases. And we hope the existence of this office causes those who have committed these crimes and are still walking around to sweat a little bit. You know, we want them to lay awake at night knowing that the federal government is coming after them. And, And in the final analysis, we want to do justice and help the victims get closure and also help the country, resolve these cases so that we can move forward.
Why is it so important to know the truth about these kinds of cases?
Well, first, there's a personal element, and if you've ever talked to family members of victims from the past, this has stayed with them. I mean, it's easy for the rest of us to say, oh, these are 50 years old. But, I mean, these people are still carrying the burden of the fact that they had, mothers, fathers, loved ones who were, killed, and when there was no attempt to get justice for them. And then I think as a nation, you can't turn your back on the past until you've done justice. I mean, this is a country that believes in justice, and we're not living up to that if we don't do our best to find these murderers and to find out the truth. So we felt both for the country and for the victims that this was an important thing to do.
Are there any particular cases that you're hoping to see solved? Do you have any cases in mind?
I've avoided saying specific cases because I think that's going to be the job of the section chief. Now, there's certainly a lot of them out there, and I think we'll probably find there's a lot more than we think once we have this section. But, the murders of Henry D. and Charles Moore, I've talked to Mr. Moore's relatives about this in Louisiana. Governor Bush from Florida has identified, he's asked the Florida Law Enforcement Department to investigate the case of Johnny Mae Chapel, who was a black woman murdered over 40 years ago. I mean, there's a lot of these cases out there, and I think it'll be up to the section chief to decide, protocols for which ones they're going to investigate and how.
Has there ever been any other office like this at all, any similar kind of enterprise like this?
Well, I suppose... No, I wouldn't say so. Maybe the war crimes tribunals that were established, perhaps, but those weren't cold cases. Yes, I guess the ones that have gone after Nazi, criminals from long ago might be the closest thing. But I don't think that there's a completely similar precedent, but that shouldn't stop us from doing this, I don't think.
All right. Well, thanks so much for joining us today, Senator Talent.
You're welcome.
Republican Senator Jim Talent of Missouri co-sponsored legislation establishing a new Department of Justice office to solve murder cases from the civil rights era. And with me still is Doug Jones. He is a former U.S. attorney for Northern Alabama, and he was lead prosecutor when the 1963 Birmingham church bombing case was reopened. If you have any questions about this or you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call at 1-800-989-8255. Mr. Jones, I'm just wondering, as a prosecutor, what are some of the problems when you go after a cold case like this? Is evidence still there, or is it lost after a number of decades have gone by? I mean, what are some of the challenges here?
Sure. Well, it's both. I mean, fortunately, there is evidence still out there. In the Medgar Evers case, there was Bobby DeLauder was able to find the gun that was used that had Byron De La Beque's fingerprints. But there is also evidence that gets lost. In our case, all of the material that was gathered at the scene of the bombing and tested for bomb residue material, that sort of thing, could not be found anymore. So it's really a combination. I think one of the biggest hurdles is obviously with the witnesses, going back and tracking down witnesses who you had a name and an address for at the time and gave statements at the time, seeing where they are now, if they're alive, if they're dead, what they remember. That's a huge hurdle to try to get there. And it really does depend a lot, I believe, on the initial investigation. And the senator was right. Many of these cases, particularly in the state cases, they weren't investigated that well. I mean, the Emmett Till investigation is probably a prime example. Many of the ones that were done by the Justice Department, however, did have significant investigations that went on at the time. It was a product of the era that I think that they could not quite solve those cases or have the confidence to bring them in front of a jury at that point. But I know in our case and some of the ones in Mississippi, the federal investigation that the FBI did was phenomenal. It formed the basis of what we were able to do, and without that, I'm not sure we would have had that success. So you build on what you have, and you try to seek new witnesses. You get some publicity so that people will hopefully come forward. And quite frankly, you have to get a little bit lucky. I think everybody would agree that's prosecuted these. There's been an element of the planets just lining up just right for us. There's just some higher power, I think, that's out there overseeing these things. And that's why there's been a tremendous success.
Let's see if we can take a call now. Whit in Scottsdale, Arizona. Hi, Whit.
Good afternoon. It's my understanding that the statute of limitations is never closed anywhere in the United States for murder, racially motivated or otherwise. So my question is, shouldn't the federal government, if there's evidence of the fact of somebody having committed murder that's not under indictment, shouldn't we be investigating the investigators instead of passing superficial laws that don't need to be passed to begin with? Because, like my original premise, isn't there no such thing as a statute of limitations for committing murder?
Well, actually, that's not completely correct. In the various state laws, I don't believe there's a state in which there is a statute of limitations. I think in every state law, there is no statute of limitations for murder. That is not the situation with regard to federal crimes. In the 1950s and 1960s, there is only a very discrete number of cases in which there was no statute of limitations. Generally, the civil rights statutes at that time had a 5-year statute of limitations. That's why all these cases ended up being closed in the 1960s with the federal authorities. In our case, in the church bombing case, we had to travel under 1963 law. We could not make the federal jurisdiction there because of the cases, the statute was closed. We moved the case to Birmingham into state court and tried it there. So with this law now, the Justice Department is going to probably have few and far between cases that the Justice Department can actually prosecute. But the importance of having the Justice Department and the power of the Justice Department behind these will also help these state investigators. It will empower these investigators to go forward. And, I think if you go back to the 50s and 60s, yes, I think there were people there in positions of power that did not properly investigate and prosecute these cases. I don't think there's any question about that. Those, however, are separate crimes in which there are statute limitations. The fact that these cold cases now, everyone that's been looked at, my experience has been that people have given them a very serious look. Not all have been prosecuted, but it's been based on evidentiary issues and not any sort of bias or bigotry or prejudice, and we can go forward. But that's one. I think getting the power of the federal government, keeping it, that power behind these cold cases is very, very significant.
All right. Thanks so much for your call, Whit. And you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And we're going to go to Marcia now in California. Hi, Marcia.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Well, I had a couple of comments, and I'm hearing this on the road, and some of it's coming in and out. I apologize. But I just wanted to commend the gentleman for this plan, and I... having worked in Mississippi during Freedom Summer in 1964 and having been arrested, I'm thrilled that there's more attention paid to all of the unsolved murders and the really poorly investigated murders. I would agree with the gentleman from Scottsdale. I happened to be arrested about 2 weeks after Goodman, Schwerner, and Cheney were arrested. I was kept in jail overnight and had a kind of a mock trial. I also wanted to point out that there were a number of very brave lawyers who came to Mississippi during that time, and it bothers me that it takes us this long to bring people to justice, and that every time that there is a new group of people who are stigmatized, it takes a few brave people to go out and support them, i.e. Gay killings and so on. So I'm hoping that we've been learning some lessons and will continue to bring people to justice.
Thanks so much for that comment, Marcia. Doug Jones, did you want to respond to that?
No, I think she's absolutely correct, and I applaud what she says, and I do believe that a lot of what you're seeing now in today's world, that people will take these a little bit. It is a tragedy that these cases weren't prosecuted. I don't always put ill motives for everybody on that because some of these cases they just could not have. I will tell you that I am glad that they did not prosecute the church bombing cases in the 1960s because I'm afraid that with a very slim evidence that was done in a strong investigation, these guys would have been found not guilty and you could have never prosecuted them again. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the justice system grinds a little bit slow, but it's like I said here, justice delayed doesn't have to be justice denied. I'm glad that I was a part of a group that could do that to bring those cases back We've seen it throughout the South. I think we'll continue to see that. And I do believe it will transcend into other hate crime cases. Hate crime issues are still a big issue in this country today, and they need to be vigorously prosecuted.
So this is going to be a continuing office? I mean, I was wondering, is there a limit of time that this office is going to exist? Is it just going back to the civil rights era? Is it going further back? And then are you going to start looking at more recent hate crimes
I think from the way I have read the bill, it is primarily going to be limited to the civil rights era type cases. You don't know where these cases might go. Again, someone is going to have to establish some very serious guidelines, because not all of these cases can be prosecuted. The victims' families may still be here, but the defendants, if all the defendants are gone, they're passed, then it's going to be very difficult to justify spending the resources in that particular case, even though there's some reconciliation value in that. On the other hand, there's still a lot of folks, I think, that are still around. But every day that goes by is another day in which either a witness or a defendant is lost in these cases. So the time is now. If we ever hope to have some success, because there will come a time when these particular civil rights era cases will be just beyond the point of being of practically being able to be resurrected.
Yeah. Do you anticipate working on any yourself?
Oh, I'd love to. I don't know if I can. The Justice Department normally does not go outside the Justice Department to do that. Although in the Cherry case, I actually was in private practice, but because of my experience with Blanton, the Alabama Attorney General asked me to do that. So I'd love to get involved in these, either as a consultant or somehow. I don't really anticipate that. But
well, good luck with it, and thanks so much for joining us
today.
Thank
you very much.
Doug Jones is a former U.S. attorney for Northern Alabama. He was acting prosecutor when the 1963 Birmingham church bombing case was reopened. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Lynn Neary in Washington.